Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Shop Blinds.com right now and get up to 40% off select styles, plus a free professional measure and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Save up to 40% at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Ah, can't you see it? A glistening 100-megawatt solar field begging to be built? It's photovoltaic modules and balance of system powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean? We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Hey, football fans, are you obsessed with the game?
Oh, yeah.
Do you find yourself looking for breakdowns from every angle? For those who can't get enough, subscribe to Brian Baldinger's podcast, The Best Football Show, where he discusses the top teams and players from around the league each week.
That's what I watched this week, a dominant performance.
New episodes drop every weekday, including Trench Talk Tuesdays with former NFL lineman Mark Schlereth. Make sure to subscribe to The Best Football Show on the Odyssey app or wherever you find your podcasts.
B. Mitch and Finley, 106.7 The Fan. Fired up to talk to our guy, Mr. Barry Sverluga, Washington Post columnist. You can follow him at Barry Sverluga, S-V-R-L-U-G-A. Barry, you and I sat together on Sunday and watched that game against the Eagles before we turn our eyes to the Atlanta Falcons. You watch a lot of sports, and you have a very wide prism for greatness, I'd say, between the Olympics and golf and baseball and everything you do. What are we seeing Jaden Daniels do this year?
Man, I think you and I were walking out in the parking lot, and you just kind of are like, I think we were walking separately, kind of both just shaking our heads, and then we're like, hey, dude, is that you? Oh, yeah. It's like the kid gives them a chance always. Like, anything is possible because they have him. And when you cast that against what we've talked about forever and ever and ever around here, which is they don't have the guy, it's such an amazing pivot, amazing 180 to realize that they do have the guy. Could he get hurt? He could get hurt. Like, I think there's still a little bit of the, like, you know, Robert Griffin III was ripping off seven straight wins to win the NFC East title in his rookie year of 2012. And I think there's a little bit of, like, tentativeness to, you know, maybe embrace this wholeheartedly. But if you remove that kind of history, you just got to think that, holy cow, they've got a combination of a player with amazing physical tools who clearly puts in the work to prepare, and then mix in the intangible of not only is no moment too big, but he actually embraces those big moments and says casually afterwards, like, yeah, if you love the sport, like that's where you want to be. It's just an intoxicating combination that makes the entire franchise and frankly the whole sports town feel different.
How do you feel like that has grown as the year has gone on? Is his teammates' fault? Like they trust this guy more and more as the season's gone on. I mean, going back to training camp, people were talking about how much they trusted him, but they, you know, you haven't seen him on the field yet. It seems like week after week there are moments added to this legendary rookie season. How have you seen that evolve as the season's gone on with his teammates?
Well, I think some of it is, you know, there's been attrition, right, in terms of, you know, Noah Brown's not there. They lost Ertz in the New Orleans game for the rest of that game. Eckler hasn't played for a while and can't play until the Dallas game with that concussion. And I think we all would have said
going, not a win.
Yeah, right. I mean,
sorry.
I think we all would have said in training camp, like, oh, they're probably a few weapons short of being able to be a 30-point-a-game offense. And I think what you've learned about Daniels is that he can turn people into weapons because he's that good, and defenses have to, you know, they have to be aware of the run. I mean, because the game ended how it did and dramatic, 6 seconds left touchdown to Crowder, maybe you lose sight of the 29-yard run on 4th and 11. Like, that's just game-changing stuff. So he is a weapon in two different ways on his own, because he can throw and he can run. But you're talking about a game in which Jamison Crowder and OZ had 2 touchdown catches apiece. Like, right. No one had that on their bingo card at the beginning of the season, but that somebody with that those two guys would combine for 4 TDs in a single game against a divisional opponent that you pull out at the last minute. He's the kind of great player that elevates the play of others, which is another, put that in the laundry list of accolades or attributes that he has that make him just really, really special.
Talking with our friend Barry Svrluga here from the Washington Post. You can follow him on Twitter and Instagram at Barry Svrluga. Barry, I think you're so right, and I really enjoyed your column. I just retweeted it if anybody missed it after the game Sunday night. Dan Quinn's talked about all week, we want to be heavy hitters. We want to prove we belong. And after the game, DQ said of Jaden today, he became a heavy hitter. What he was able to do just felt, even as much as the Hail Mary created this high, right? Like, this level of elation, the win over Philly was different because it was like a drive. There's a big component of flukiness to a Hail Mary. There was nothing fluky, especially for a kid, a young man, just turned 24, to throw a pick with 3 minutes left and then to come back with a minute and go down the field. The guts and kind of you – he's only a rookie, I understand that, but you start to build this level of gravitas as a quarterback when, we're sitting and we're watching and it's like, oh, man, all right, Josh Allen's got the ball, a minute and a half left. Like, can he prove he's the guy? And Mahomes, obviously, and maybe Herbert. And Jaden is in that conversation now where it's like, oh, dude, this guy can do it. And when you have that guy on your team, the whole team feels that. Didn't you think that, Barry, in that locker room after that game?
Oh, for sure. And also, I think you get into the conversation of, like, he's now one of the guys where you say, oh, no, you left him too much time. Like, they're getting the ball at their 30, and he's got 2 timeouts, say. And I think they should have had 3 timeouts going into that drive, but that's nitpicking at this point. But, you know those guys, and you mentioned, like, Mahomes is probably chief amongst them now, that you're like, oh, he's got 90 seconds, 3 timeouts, and 70 yards to go. Like, the only question is, which way is he going to score? And I'm not saying that Daniels has reached Mahomes' level at all, but I definitely think if you're a fan of the opposing team, you have that thought sitting in your seat or sitting on the couch thinking, oh, man, we left him too much time. We took the lead, and we needed to take the lead, but he's got, 2 minutes and change. That's a lot, because he can orchestrate and create a lot of things with both his physical attributes, like we talked about, but also his managing the situations and understanding the situations. And this, think about this, JP, like, cast their situational football this year against what it's been over the previous 4 years, and just how they manage everything. And you're just, am I quibbling that they shouldn't have taken a timeout to ice the kicker?
Yeah, there's quibbles. Right.
You can do that, sure. Like, I would have rather had that timeout to use for Jaden to have an extra play to stop the clock. But managing it all is so much more normal and feels like a net positive. I mean, go back to the New Orleans game. Like, should they have kicked that 54-yard field goal? Like, at least Dan Quinn had a rock solid, this is the logic behind what I was prepared for that moment, because I knew from the 38 in we were kicking and from the 39 out we weren't. We could argue that, but it was thought through, and I think that's what this whole outfit feels thought through and prepared, and they're not going to lose. They could lose because of a lack of execution. They could lose because the other team is better. The Dallas game was obviously kind of a disaster from all points, but they're not going to mismanage their way into a loss, and that's from head coach and that's from quarterback, which is such a pivot from the last 4 years.
It was well documented what kind of guy he was coming out of LSU, what kind of player he was, but I think he's exceeded expectations. I mean, sets the record for most rookies of the week. He's likely going to win rookie of the year, all that stuff. What surprised you most about him as the season's gone on, or has it just been kind of like a culmination of, like, this is the guy that they expected to get when they drafted him, and he's been everything that they've expected him to be and more?
Yeah, I mean, I just think, like, you know, when you draft Chase Young number two, you think, okay, he's what we expected him to be, and
think you're getting
maybe not
back.
More, but... Well, right, yes, exactly. But so you can... The talk in minicamp and training camp about, oh, this is who we expected and he's special as a person, like, it doesn't matter until it happens. So, and now it's happened and it's happening. And that makes all the, you know, kudos about his character and his preparation and stuff seem very real. But I think the thing that, I don't know if stuns is the right word, but, you know, kind of I'm pleasantly surprised by is the matter of factness that he takes all this in. Like he expected to take that ball and go down the field and win that game the other day. And then afterwards, you know, all he talks about is, I love winning, so this feels good. But it's not in a, he's in no way overwhelmed by any of it, not by the situation that's presented him right in front of him, but, and also not by the aftermath. And I think some of that is because, like, you can see Terry McLaurin's, like, absolute joy. Like, joy because he's having a career season, but and joy because he knows who his quarterback is going to be, which he's never known from year to year or week to week. But he also has been through all the crap around here for the first 5 years of his career. And so he, like the fan base, realizes what a pivot this is. He didn't catch the game-winning touchdown. I mean, he had a touchdown catch that was an amazing, amazing catch, Willie Mays style. But you can just feel and sense his kind of joy for, you know, how much stuff has changed, what winning feels like, what marked. They've never been ahead of a season like this. Yeah, I know they haven't clinched a playoff berth, but they have been pointed toward the playoffs and in playoff position for most of the season. The whole year, right, exactly.
Right.
Which is just completely, completely different than it's been before. And Terry, like, standing there and saying, man, we got the guy, is kind of, that's like in lockstep with the fan base of, like, we're unwrapping this present and it's exactly what we wanted. It's just an amazing feeling.
It really is. Talking with our friend Barry Sferluga from the Washington Post. You can read his columns, WashingtonPost.com. Check out his work at Barry Sferluga. It's fascinating now the storylines you get with Atlanta coming back. And I think because Jaden has been so impressive, and I think because just kind of as an NFL collective audience, whether, you know, you kind of work around it or you just watch it and enjoy it as a fan, we're so preconditioned to care most about offense and the play design and the play caller and the quarterback that maybe we don't really think about the defense as much. I think that's just like a natural state. Like, everybody plays fantasy football. It's just different. And I think we're in this weird spot with Dan Quinn where he's been really good. And to your earlier point about the kick in New Orleans, I supported it because it is consistent with how they've coached and attacked. And I think DQ was like, no, we knew exactly from that yard marker we were going. And it was something we determined before the game. Even when they mess up, like when DQ went for it 4th-and-2 in Philly on the Thursday nighter, like I can come up with, like you were saying earlier, some quibbles. We can pick some nits. I think they had some flaws both in the 2 minute before halftime and in the last minute with last week. But all of that said, like we're kind of finding flaws in what has been a really, really strong body of work for Dan Quinn. And, dude, he wasn't probably the top pick for most fans when he got the job last year. And what he has built from an environment, like an ecosystem of football out here, everybody is all the way buying in. And I understand that, like, our job in the media is somewhat to be skeptical and to ask a lot of questions. But unless you're in it, you can't really feel how much all of the stuff is working. And Jaden's a huge component of that, right? But then think about this. This is a completely forgotten storyline because of Jaden and the playoffs and whatever else. DQ gets another shot at Atlanta, where everybody knows how painful that Super Bowl loss must have been. And then eventually, I think it was 2 years later, he gets fired in season. He'll probably poo-poo it, not really talk about it. It's got to mean something, Barry.
It's got to. And I also think, you know, you're right. Like, I definitely was not they should hire Dan Quinn person. I was very, very, very much on the Ben Johnson specifically and offensive guy in general, because you lock the head coach with the quarterback and you put him as one, and you don't get into a Chicago Bears situation where now you have the quarterback, but you fired the coordinator, then you fired the coach, and you're completely out of step, and that can mess with the kid's career. And then, you know, the flip side of if you do hire a defensive coach, and we're going to deal with this question coming up, if the quarterback develops under an offensive coordinator, does the offensive coordinator get a look elsewhere as a head coach? We're going to probably have to be reporting on that with Cliff Kingsbury this offseason. But what impressed me about Quinn when he got here was his willingness to admit and embrace that, look, I got fired in Atlanta for a reason, and it's not my job now to complain about what the circumstances were and what the health of the team was and why did we get off to a bad start, why did we collapse in the Super Bowl. I'm not going to complain about those circumstances. I'm going to look back on them and scrutinize them and go into my next job not trying to recreate my last job, but to be better. And not to pick on Ron Rivera, who's very, very easy to pick on. But I think because he got fired in the middle of the season in Carolina and immediately was like essentially being interviewed by Dan Snyder and being told, I want a coach-centric model. You happen to be available. I'm going to give you the keys to everything. He never had that either ability to or didn't make the choice to go back and review what went wrong in Carolina and really just hung, you know, everything on the laurels, the good things that he did there. Yeah, we went to the Super Bowl when Cam Newton was playing at an MVP level and we went 15-1. There wasn't the same kind of scrutiny on his own flaws. And I think Quinn, to his credit, took what he did in Atlanta, went and became a defensive coordinator, grew in his coaching there, and arrived here in, you know, prepared to fix the things that were his downfall in a really admirable way. And then lastly, I'd say, JP, when you're talking about creating the environment that they have out there, Adam Peters and Quinn talked in the offseason about, you know, we want to find people who are commanders, who are commander-type players, which sounds weird because the name is so new and there's no tradition attached to it. And it felt like, to me, kind of jargon. And I think a lot of what Quinn says feels like slogany, jargony stuff. But I'm, you know, whatever it is, 15 games in now, I think that was not just talk, that was the people that they brought in were and are the right type of people, and that's helped create and you know, again, go back to what McLaurin was saying on Sunday, like there's one vision here, there's one from the top down, everybody in lockstep. Obviously some of that is because they're winning, and it's, as anybody would admit, it's a lot easier to follow the lead when things are going right. But I do think there's something to the type of person that Peters brought in, both from a fitting into their play style, but also fitting into the locker room, that matters a lot in giving you the feeling that everybody's bought in the right way.
Real quick, Barry, I know we don't have much longer here, but looking at what's happened this season, where it's you really have Josh Harris being able to put his fingerprint on the organization, you bring in Adam Peters, you bring in Dan Quinn, just like you were talking about, it seems like you figured out the quarterback, now you have the RFK site. How important has this season and this year been to bring back this fan base?
You know, it's really hard to quantify, I think, because I do... Is there more excitement? Is there more optimism? Of course there is. But I think it's very, very hard to have a single season, even with as much transformation as you've described, immediately allow everybody who was dragged through the mud and has so much scar tissue from the previous 24, 25 years to just be like, I'm all in. And that's all in financially and all in emotionally and all in with giving my time. I think obviously the franchise is in just a 1,000,000% better situation than it was two calendar years ago. But I think it would be dismissive of all the damage that was done to the fan base and how much the erosion was very, very real under Snyder to say that, you know, Harris and Peters and Quinn and Daniels have just solved all those problems in 15 games. I think we have recency bias and everything is moving in a positive direction. But that was real, real damage done over a long, long period of time. And to say that it was back to what it was, which, you know, at one point there really was a wait list for season tickets. There's not a wait list for season tickets now. Like it can get to what it was. But I think we're jumping the gun to saying like, oh, the erosion from the Snyder era has been fully built back up. It's going to take obviously more success, but I think it's going to take time too.
Sure,
Barold, we appreciate you, brother. Merry Christmas! Thank you for joining us.
Thanks, Barry.
Merry Christmas, guys. See you on Sunday.
All right, that's our guy, Barry Svrluga, at Barry Svrluga, S-V-R-L-U-G-A. Interesting question there from Tobo. How far back is this thing? Plus, you're going to hear from Joe Witt Jr. at 11:45.